expert on putting things on backwards, but not hockey equipment. He was always very good at putting that on the right way. Shogger, how you doing?
Good, buddy. Thanks for the plug.
Well, that's all right. You know, it's good. It's true, y'all. Your equipment was always on. You know, you're always well dressed. Yeah, well, sure. Well, I don't know what else you put on backwards, but I know your tie is always on straight too, so that's important.
Well, your vest and green shirt was on very straight today.
Oh, this is a tight shirt, by the way.
Your gray vest with your green shirt with blue polka dots was mm-hmm. looking very on straight today.
Oof, buddy, it's looking tight. It's getting a lot of head turns, I'll tell you right now. Oof. Like, I'll say this, you know, like women nowadays, man, like they're very aggressive in their stares. It's kind of, you know, it's almost uncomfortable at times.
Really?
Almost
wow.
uncomfortable.
Holy smokes. Must be tough there, buddy. Must be tough.
Cam Talbot, well, by the way, I found out today, Cam Talbot's usually not one who talks on game day, so he might have to change that.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, because I walked up to him, hey, Cam, how's it going? I was, hey, you got a few minutes? He looks at me, and he kind of stops, and I was like, oh, yeah, sure. And then I said, yeah, you're not one of those guys that doesn't talk on game day, are you? And he's like, well, actually. And he's like, but I'll talk today. And I was like, oh, so I tell JJ.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, that'll be an interesting one.
That will be interesting. You know, we haven't really dealt with that.
No.
Was Brizgalov like that?
No. Oh, God, no. I never had one. Theodore is a visiting goaltender. I don't really understand why
Abby
talking
Boone?
At – I don't know. Abby Boone spoke. I can't remember a guy who didn't in Edmonton anyway as a starting goaltender. I've never really understood how talking to the media at 10:30 in the morning impacts how you play 9 hours later. I've just never understood the connection.
Well, they're creatures of habit, right? So if they go to one place – and if they go to one place and they're allowed to get away with it, then that becomes their habit. And then all of a sudden, if you make such a fundamental shift in their habit and have to change it back, that definitely is a little bit tough.
Well, I'm going to say this. If he wins tonight and plays well, it's a new habit. Talk to the media in the morning. So
the precedent
has been set. Clearly, that's what made him play better. That got him in the frame of mind to play. So I'll ask you, I'll put on your coach hat. If you're McClellan, is Talbot starting tonight and Saturday?
Yeah, I would think so. I think you want to give him the start tonight, and then I think you want to have just keep him rolling. It's not like two games in four nights is going to be too much for him to handle. It's not like he's going to be totally wiped. So, yeah, I think if you want to get him in his groove, start him those two games, and then he hits the ground running for that road trip in St. Louis, Nashville, and Dallas.
Yeah, I think he's got to start both games. If it was me, the number one priority I've always said is your starting goaltender, not your backup. And, you know, they can make that decision on Scrivens and Nilsson. And honestly, as good as Nilsson's played, it's preseason action. And the waiver, unless there's a trade possibly, I'm not sure they expose Ben Scrivens to waivers just yet.
Really?
No.
But expose him to... See, I think it's less about worrying about exposing anybody to anything and more about what situation works in the minors and not wanting to have three goalies. And I don't know. I think they've seen enough of Nilsson to think, okay, he could probably come in and give us some good games as a backup. And if there's a way to move Scrivens, I think they'll do it. I just don't know that they're worried about losing him on waivers. Like, who picks up Ben Scrivens? Who picks up a backup at $2+ million?
Okay. Even, I guess the other one was, if you look at their NHL numbers, Scrivens is way better as an NHL player, not in preseason. So I think the organization's going to look and say, yeah, Ben Scrivens had a tough year last year. Also playing in a defensive system where guys clearly at times didn't know what they were doing. You know, you compile it all together. He was bad. They were bad. You know, Ben Scrivens has not been bad in the preseason games. Yes, Nilsson's looked better for sure. I'm not sure how tough he's been tested, and I think the veteran might get the benefit of the doubt. I'm not sure they're going to put a guy to 2.9 in the minors because they might just run with Talbot for the bit and let you know, the two young guys split some games down in the American League for the first month and a half.
So at this, really, the fundamental question is this: are they okay with Nilsson being in the minors and splitting time with Laurent Brossoit? Are they okay with that? Or do they want Brossoit to get the bulk of the starts in the minors and have this be a big year developmentally for him? Or are they good with him sharing time and having two guys they're trying to kind of develop in the minors? And if the answer is yes, they're fine. They'll go, Brossoit will get 60% of the starts and Nilsson will get the other 40%, and they're good with that, then that's fine. Then you've got Scrivens here And if one of those two is shooting the lights out in the minors, then you can make a swap at that point if you want to. So if the organization's okay with that, with this four-headed monster of Talbot, a backup, Bressois, and another player, then that's fine. My understanding was they wanted Bressois to be their starter in the minors this year and to give him the bulk of the starts, a heavy workload, to see how he could do as a starter on his own and see where he's at. Now, if that has changed because they wanted competition, then fine. But that goes against what my understanding was of their plan for Bressois.
Yeah, I'm curious. Plans change. You got it. They had to think something was up. When they signed him. So I guess
that's just it, right? For sure. So they signed this other goalie, and it's a one-way contract. And so, okay, you've added another goaltender to the organization for this year. Now, maybe they were thinking, if Ben Scrivens doesn't make the team, if this guy plays better and takes his spot, there'll be an avenue to move Scrivens on, and then you stay with only three. I mean, the three main guys, and then whoever the backup is in Bakersfield, right? So maybe the thought process was they could move Ben on somehow. I don't know what the mechanism is to do that, but I wonder if that wouldn't be their preference.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Lots of different ways. I know a lot of texters are saying, well, what's the point of giving Nielsen if you weren't going to guarantee him a job in Edmonton? And I think they wanted competition at every position, and I think they've accomplished that. There's competition. Now there's the business side and everything else that goes into it. And, you know, they might look and say, yeah, you know what, we want Bressois to be our starter down there. But if it's a month and those two guys are both playing every second, you know, they switch duties and they're playing and what have you, maybe they're okay with that. Because it's not like Nielsen's old by any stretch.
No. He's still, I mean, he's kind of in the sweet spot where a goalie should be hitting his prime, right? I mean, that 25, 26, 27 range is where a lot of goalies really maybe develop. I mean, it's rare for a goaltender in his early 20s to hit his peak then or to develop fully then, right? It's a position that takes a little bit more time. So, like I said, if they're okay with him sharing time with Bressois and letting them both develop and see who grabs the starting job down there, then fine. That's just not my understanding of the direction they were heading in. I thought they were heading in a direction of Laurent Bressois gets the bulk of the starts in the American League to see how he handles the starter's load, and to that's where he was at in his development, looked like he was ready for that. And they wanted to create competition for Scrivens, but what do you do if Scrivens loses the race? Now what do you do? You got a tough decision to make. And really, it's the same on defense as well, right? You bring Griffin Reinhardt in because you want to create more competition on the back end. Another good young player to add to the organization, but it adds competition. And Sekera. What happens if Griffin Reinhardt plays Andrew Ferentz? Now you've got a guy he's your captain, and he's a veteran guy, and he's got a no-move clause. What if he outplays Nikita Nikitin, which to this point I'd suggest he has? So that's the thing. You create competition, but what do? I mean, guys can't be immovable objects. Otherwise, what's the point of creating the competition? So there's a few tricky spots they got to navigate their way through here.
No, I agree that it's a competition. I'm just, do you believe that two preseason games against like 60% AHL lineups is enough to push a veteran out of his job, who by the way, has not been bad in his games?
Yeah, I think I don't think Scrivens was great in the Friday night he played in Winnipeg. I don't think it was from what I heard and from the bit that I saw, it wasn't a fantastic performance. But setting that aside, I think anytime a goalie comes in and goes essentially two games without giving up a goal, and he's in a competition for a job, it has to make sense to players. You can't have somebody come in and shoot the lights out and then just there's nothing, no accounting for that. So the problem is they've hit the end of the road here. They're running out of games. What Nielsen absolutely deserves is more opportunity to prove that he can do it. That's what he deserves. But they might have run out of time here for him to show that. So he might just end up a little unlucky here and not necessarily given the opportunity to show that before he gets sent down. But when a guy plays this well, it should make sense. But he might not make this team despite not giving up a goal. Can you imagine that? What do you say to him?
Yeah, I'm not saying it's the ideal situation. That's why I'm saying it's an interesting one to see what happens.
Yeah. And then carrying three goalies is just no good at all.
Yeah, I'm not a big believer in that either. I would agree. The Eberle injury, maybe if they want, can give them that flexibility. But you have one extra forward and one extra defenseman, and go from that quickly. The Bickle to Nikitin rumors make zero sense to me from Edmonton perspective. None. What do you think?
Well, Bickle's got more years, right? He's got one more.
He's got two years. Yeah, he's got 2 years at $4 million cap. Well, Nikitin has 1 year at 4.5.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily think of Brian Bickle as a unredeemable asset. I mean, the guy, I know the game since the contract was signed has definitely significantly dropped off, no question about it. It's the extra year that kind of kills them, and the fact that he's a left winger isn't great. So it's not ideal. It doesn't make sense. But remember when they were trying to move Sam Gagne, right? What did they have to do in order to move Sam Gagne? Well, they had to take something back. And what they brought back was Teddy Purcell. Now, what they did is they made that – I mean, he was usable. He played. He played okay. He's still there. He's in a top six role. Sometimes you got to – in order to move stuff, you got to take stuff. And you trade a little of this for a little of that. Would Brian Bickle, who has put up some okay numbers in this league, be a better – a third line left wing option than, if Leon Draisaitl isn't ready to be there, or if, they want Laurie Korpikoski on that fourth line. Korpikoski is the one that makes Bickle make no sense, because Korpikoski looks like he's going to be a decent player, and they can play him on the third line if they have to.
Yeah. If I'm going to free up $4.5 million for Nikita Nikitin next summer, I'm not replacing it with $4 million of Brian Bickle. I just think that's a horrible decision. It'd be awful.
Yeah. Well, the idea is to be out from underneath the contract at the end of this year, right? They're going to have to live with this and Nikitin
year,
and then get out from underneath it. Now, don't forget, there's always the option to buy players out, right? So if you bring Bickle in, you never know. And if it doesn't work out, great, and you end up in a buyout position, well, they could have easily bought Nikitin out this year. So are you taking a chance on a guy in a new environment with different players around him who's shown he can play a fairly high level? I mean, 17 points in 23 games in the NHL playoffs, that's an accomplishment. That doesn't just go away. And if it's a disaster, I mean, then you're looking at a buyout option. But I agree, it doesn't make complete sense, but it does free up some space on the back end.
Yeah, I think you add more money up front where you already have more money allocated.
Lots of wingers too, right? So.
I would be totally against the Bickle for Nikitin trade. I can't believe there's any trade I'd be against for Nikitin, but I'd be against that one. It makes absolutely no sense to me.
Yeah, just
from a financial standpoint, and Bickle's a bit player. I don't care that he had one good run in the playoffs. Lots of guys have one good run. In the regular season, the guy's a dog way too many times. He's unmotivated, and that's on a Stanley Cup winning team with a lot of really good leaders. You're going to come to a team that's never made the playoffs, and this guy is going to be the role model for your team? No thanks.
Yeah, I've covered lots of series that this guy's been involved in. I've covered him before. I get what his role is. I get the role that he plays. It's one of those ones where maybe a new environment would kick his butt a little bit. But if you're not playing with Seabrook and Taves, if those guys and a Stanley Cup potential every year doesn't get you going, I don't know what will. So I'd probably side with you a little bit on that front. I don't know there's going to be some big improvement that suddenly happens.
Schauger, we will enjoy tonight. I think Connor McDavid is going to get his first preseason goal tonight. That's my bold prediction.
You're calling it, hey?
I am calling it. I thought his best game was the last game. He looked dynamic. He's looking more comfortable every night. And something tells me he'll score against the Canucks tonight.
Okay. Well, we'll have to wait and see. I mean, it's not a spectacular Canucks lineup. They've got some NHLers in there. So I agree with you, though. He was really, really good last game, and his comfort level is there. He's starting to – you can just tell the synapses are firing on a whole different level than most of the other guys out there. So I would agree with you.
All right, buddy. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, we'll see you down there.